And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Declare your independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, well, it's Monday, New Year's Eve, and I think we're gonna have a party tonight, go over some friends, and so we'll be putting together a rerun for you tomorrow, so I have to get up early because I'm gonna be out late tonight, because you know what I mean. But designated drivers, you know, I don't want to, you know, have any problems. A lot of things that happened this weekend I want to share, and we'll go over some stuff. You go to Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, and you can see a lot of the stories that I spent. We got a good head start on the magazine, and it's going to be another really big shoe. So while Donna was working on that, doing a lot of stuff Saturday, you know, I spent some time. I don't often do on the weekends and just sit there and play Freedom's Phoenix, but there's a lot of things going on, and I just kind of keeping track, and I'm just enjoying putting stuff up and send things to staff to put up and all that kind of crap. And I tell you, this Sandy Hook thing, you know, is the same as the Fast and Furious deal. You know, it's starting to come out that there's a lot of weird things going on, and they really don't care. You know, if they get caught, they just don't care, you know? Yeah. So, guns are bad. And coming up, the legislative session, how it works is we have the second Monday in January is when the legislative session starts, I'm pretty sure. So that may mean that do a Google search, Donna. See when the Arizona legislative session starts. It may not be next Monday. Maybe the Monday after, if it's the second Monday. Gives us even more time. What we've done in the past, over the years, I mean, after 20-something years, you know, you do a lot of things. Normally, what we would do during, you know, heavy activist years is every State of the State address that's given by the governor, which is really the opening of the legislative session in the state of Arizona, is I think the second Monday of January. And what happens is the week before is when the legislators do what they call the pre-files. Pre-files are when they file legislation without limit. I mean, there's no number that they, all right, here's my 374 laws that I must pass. When they introduce those, they go in electronically, and it used to be they were by hard paper, and they had to be printed out and put it in these boxes that you would go and get, and you had to go down like every day or twice a day, or it'd overfill, and they just throw them away. So it was like a mail slot that you would reserve. So that was how you got them, and we would go down and accumulate them, then we'd have guys going down constantly during that week picking those out so we didn't miss any, and then we'd put them on a big conference table at our Libertarian headquarters here, and we would sit around and go over them. And you had to really, you know, you didn't go by the title, because that don't mean anything, it's usually the opposite of that, but you go by the statute, and you start to learn what section you're in, you know, 13, blah, 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 or this, that, and 16, whatever, and so on. You knew if it was election law or gun rights or, you know, whatever, education, taxation. We go through these and we start picking things out. It was amazing the things that we found. Amazing. I mean, amazing that they'll try any and everything. Now, what gets through is it usually comes down to who wants it and how much whining do the people do. Well, when you're bombarded by literally thousands of laws just for a state, it's just, seriously, I don't remember a year it was less than 1,000. And it's always some stupid little whatever. And a lot of the times, they have no idea what it is. Somebody told them to do it, and they did it. Oh, yeah, yeah, you want this change? They have no clue what it does. So, and a lot of times, the laws will reference other laws. Pursuant to so-and-so, such-and-such, shall as defined in, and, you know, that kind of crap. And so they'll change it as defined. Well, not defined here anymore, it's defined there. And that one little change would be a difference in, you know, all kinds of stuff. Not a clue. Who wants it? So the beginning of the legislative sessions, we would go down and we just plop up a table and have our signs or logos and stand, just sit there and be there and yo, what's up? It's getting to the point now to where nobody cares. You know, they're going to do whatever they're going to do, and it's a done deal. So this time with the Bill of Rights monument out there, do we go and, you know, boom, here we are? You know, we pick one or all of them. You know, we're gonna something. You know, we can take the Freedom's Phoenix RV out there, and I can do a live remote that Monday and so on. Did you find it yet? I just Google Arizona legislative session begins something. And so what happens is when we go down there, it's usually we are able to determine what the main agenda is, at least in the media. I mean, of course, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. But, you know, the media is just waiting for something to write and who's down there with the table. And so we go down and we can cause a ruckus and everything. But I'm, you know, for who? For whom? So I go, all right, well, before we did that because it got press and people know, oh, there's somebody down here advocating for or complaining about something, you know, whatever. But it doesn't matter anymore. Nobody watches TV. Nobody watches the local me. Nobody cares. Nobody reads the local fish rag. You know, it doesn't matter. So, okay, here we go. What does it say? Convenes 1:14. Okay. Estimated volume 1,500 bills. Yeah, you know. So, okay. So it's a second Monday, which means we got an extra week because it just happens today is the Monday and it's the last day of the month. So I'm going, okay, cool. So that means we got time. I thought it might be next week. Okay, so we got a couple of weeks. So if we go ahead and make an example out of this, we go do something. It's advocating for, you know, something. What would you advocate for? You know, what would it be? What do you think's important that, you know, we're going to set the agenda? I am of the opinion that that would be effective, but to what end? You know, I've been thinking about this, you know, for, oh, man, never, you know. And we always have some kind of a standard that's advocated by. So, yesterday, last night, I watched a tape thing where Andrew Napolitano, gave a speech at the Mises Institute. And, you know, he always does a good job. And he's a little anarchist. He may run for president in 2016. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if you got Andrew Napolitano seeking Republican nomination up against Rand Paul, who would the Levolution support? I suspect that Andrew Napolitano kicked the living crap out of Rand Paul, certainly in the Levolution. So it would be, you know, the Liberty wing, you know, it'd be a split, you know, who's for Rand and who's for Napolitano. And it, man, if that doesn't definitely make it clear, you know, who's the Quislings. So we'll go ahead and talk about what I think I might kind of openly discuss with you plan for this year.
Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com from Big Head Press.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, we don't need any roads. We're flying around. You know, this is this weekend, I put up a publisher recommend. I rarely do that. I can probably count on both hands, you know, how many times I've done that. But I'll put... publisher recommended. You know, you'll be sorry you didn't watch this. You know, so you go and watch it, and it's called Team Black Sheep. And what it is these guys, I think they're from Austria, and they decided, they go, you know what, we got this technology, we need to go do tour America. So what they did is they came over to America, and they started on the West Coast, I guess, Golden Gate Bridge, and they went across the country flying the remote control airplane with their GoPro video on it. Now, they have some quadcopters and a couple of flying wing airplanes. And what they do is they get an extended antenna, boom antenna, that goes out miles to the horizon. Okay, so they have remote control. They can, you know, control it from miles away. And it has, they put on a helmet, or really what it looks like is ski goggles, and they have displays that are like glued onto the mask. So when you put the goggles on, it's like you're looking at this big screen IMAX screen or whatever that shows what the plane sees, and they fly it. And it has beautiful video. So think about the things you can do. You fly along and down the Grand Canyon. You go look at Hoover Dam. You go to Las Vegas and you see the Bellagio fountains. You go cruising up and down Lake Powell. You go over nuclear power plants, military facilities. I mean, you know, so Department of Homeland Security is freaking out. There was some other videos I put up this weekend. One was called Drone Wars or something like that, USA. And then the other one was Rise of the Machines. The editor-in-chief of Wired Magazine has his own company, and it's all about the development of drones, you know, for, I don't know, whoever wants them, but, you know, civilians. And what they've done is they created a shopping cart or whatever, a store, that you can go in and you can buy everything you need of every bitty little whatever. And for hundreds of dollars, you know, you can get something simple, and then for, you know, willing to spend the money, you can go and fly and do circles and loops around the Golden Gate Bridge. Well, of course they did. Now, you have the view of the copter or the quadcopter where they have, and the plane. So the guys are surfing. You're getting right on them as the waves break from up. You know, how in the heck do they do these pictures? You're driving down the highway, and you see... You know, you're driving in the car, and you see the car. You have your friend driving, you're doing the plane, and you're following your car with the plane as you enter the facility of the fill-in-the-blank, as you go downtown, as you're watching the protest, as you're peeling over the cliff of the Grand Canyon and just plunge down, going in the Monument Valley, seeing in the low sun how red the rocks are. Going over Lake Tahoe. You're flying with a friend. You're doing dogfights. You can see each other. This is dream stuff of little kids. And man, wouldn't it be cool if... Good friends of mine gave me a book to read. She's an author, and you know, they're both smart people. But she's a pharmacist and an author. and they got to meet a lot of people at these different Comic-Cons and different award ceremonies and so on for authors and science fiction and libertarian this and that and so on. And Hogan is, you know, might as well be Heinlein. I mean, you know, I really love Hogan's stuff. His name's James Hogan, and he has great stuff. So I'm just going, okay. There was one book, the first book I read of him, and then, of course, I wanted to read everything. The first book I read of his came from them, and it was called Bug Park. Bug Park was about nanotechnology. Keep in mind, this is 15 years ago this thing was written. And they, you know, it's so, a lot of the science fiction guys, a good example is, we're doing this month's cover, Athena, she's 18. You know, talented, can do kind of what, so I'm like, you know, this is just taking too long. She's not really getting, you know, put your dad on. So we had a three-way with her father, you know, talking, and he's a big reader and read every freaking science fiction, everything of everything. So the view is that the theme of the this month's e-zine is, should we stay or should we go? Well, go where? Well, Elon Musk doing this 80,000 person colony Mars thing, you know, which, you know, he's serious. It's going to happen. I mean, there's going to be somebody, you know, go up there and thrive or die or something. I mean, you know, it's going to be news. Somebody's going to know about somebody on Mars someday sooner than you think. So what do? We created a space station view, you know, that kind of plexiglass version of the one that was in 2001, and it kind of, you know, it's long story, you'll see, but she's inside it looking out through the top, you know, the open ceiling, you know, as you can see throughout the space. What do you see? Mars filling the sky, along with an asteroid being hollowed out from mining, along with all that, you know, you have the centrifugal force to give you the artificial gravity so that you can, you know, have a station and so on. And we're designing that and playing with that. So I go to Greg, hey, yeah, help me out here with her, explain it. I send a lot of graphics and pictures and Google images and different things. And kind of, because at first she started off with they're inside the asteroid, standing around doing mining it, looking out of the hole in the asteroid. And I'm going, it's not enough gravity. I mean, you know, this is, you're lucky a paperclip will stay down, you know. So it's, you know, we kind of work through these things, get the orientation right, and then all of a sudden today, she'll probably, I may even have it waiting in my inbox over there now, you know, the, you know, detailed lines of the outline of it, and then we'll start filling it in, detailing it this week, and boom, you get the cover this weekend. In the future, there are so many things that are really here now. It's just what they keep talking about. We don't really invent anything new. We're just great optimizers. We don't invent, you know, remote control radio. Tesla was doing that with little boats in the 1800s. It was, you know, it's amazing what is, we haven't invented nothing. Once he had electricity and radio waves and so on, you know, let me look this up, you know, remote control Tesla, remote control radio Tesla. I bet you it comes up. Let's see. Master of lightning, remote control, and as much as radio hasn't been officially patented yet, Tesla's basic radio patent was filed in 1897. Okay, remote control radio Tesla. He did remote controlled, when was this, his boat? Tesla's remote control boat. He demonstrated in St. Louis in 1898. Remote control, 1898. Over 110 years later, we're finally getting to where we can fly remote control and see what it's doing and going and all that. After Tesla invented transmitting video and radio and all this kind of stuff 100 years ago. We're just optimizers. We haven't invented anything new in a long time.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
So, what do we do? What do we do? You know, we got this, not this Monday, next Monday coming up. So 2 weeks from now, legislative session begins. What they do is they, you know, I'll get into the drone thing and how this all ties in. It's just swirling around in my head, and you must go through the labyrinth with me. Then you'll understand. The it was the Mesa GOP Republican POTUS debate. Okay, this was in, I don't know, 11, 12. It was one of the later debates that took place with Dr. Paul here in Arizona. One guy that's a friend of mine, he's one of the sound engineers that I've known in radio here in the Terran radio stations for a long time and, you know, does our engineering for us and so on, Michael Connor. And he has a friend that came over one time when he was doing some work. And he has a B-2 bomber remote control plane with a GoPro in it. So I'm going, really? Okay. Now, I don't think he was looking to raise money to get to where you have the high-speed video transmitting so that you can, you know, fly it or whatever. What he had was it was a GoPro, and it would record events and so on, but you still had to see it, and you're, you know, flying it from sight from the ground. And that's just cool enough. But, you know, I'm going, you know, now how cool would that be? You got, legally, you know, a remote control airplane taking video that would be, now his was, you had to bring it down and load it up to the computer and send it out. Now, the technology now is that it's live. You know, you could stream live video. News stations are starting to do that. Of course, police stations want to do that. So what happens is you got a presidential debate being covered from the air by, you know, Fred. Oh, hell no. All right. So I watched this, the Drones USA, or, you know, Here Come the Drones, this weekend, and I found it fascinating. It was an over an hour special, and what they were talking about was all the different kinds of drones, you know, the military drones, domestic drones, what drones can do this, and drones that in the future, and drone. Then they had these young guys on from Austria, and they said, yeah, you know, here's the technology now. We're going around the world and documenting and doing all the stuff that, you know, don't you wish you did when you were a kid? In 91, 92, I first started all this. There was a thing that we were going to do called Arizona's Flight for Independence, ENTS. And the reason was, is that it was to bring attention to my lawsuit. I knew, you know, it's all you got to do, a stunt, you got to get in the paper, you got to, you know, looky, made you look. Well, I knew it was going to have to be a big buildup. I was starting in Page and flying in the ultralight. It was going to be a recumbent bicycle. I was training with a triathlon trainer at, I don't know, fitness, whatever it was. And they gave me a trainer and everything as part of the sponsorship. And I used to be an athlete in the day, and we're going to start doing that again this year. That's going to be one of my things. I think we're just going to have to be ready physically, and so I get off my butt. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. But what happened was, is I go, all right, I'm triathlete training kind of guy, which I did for, God, now weeks, months. And as it got closer, I'm going, you know, I need to video record this. So we were thinking we'll do it from ultralights. So I went and checked it out and talked to the guy. I go, are you kidding me? Why would I be on the ground riding a bicycle? I'd just fly the thing with a video camera and do the same route, and it'd be cooler. You know, that this is true. So we changed the artwork and everything and so on. And it was called Arizona's Flight for Independence and had the logo and all that kind of stuff. And I'll show you some. Donna, go get the, it's in my top drawer, that, you know, little banner we had, that silkscreen thing. And we printed up a bunch of white handkerchiefs, and we silkscreened a logo on there, and we did a lot of letterhead, and we're sending out. So here we go. And it was to highlight how messed up the election laws were. And because I didn't think, people just didn't know. Well, then all of a sudden, a month before I'm ready to leave, you know, about 6 weeks before we're ready to take off, or the weather is going to be whatever, all of a sudden, Ross Perot came on Larry King, and he goes, give me $5 and I'll run. And I knew that there was going to be a lot of attention on election law, because they kind of forgot the part about allowing independents to run for president in Arizona. When they changed everything, I knew that that didn't exist. There was no way for his electors to be selected. So I go, oh, they're screwed now. So I didn't have to do it. So I did some other stuff. This was the artwork. I don't know if you can see that. Let me see. Yeah. So it's Arizona's Flight for Independence. And you'll see the Arizona, the map. That was the map of where the landings were going to be. And it was probably 40, 50 miles or something between zones. We had all the airstrips mapped out and all that kind of stuff. And I was going to fly around. So I've already had this idea. I wanted to get from the air Arizona. Well, these guys did it with remote control airplanes. Imagine a drone going up to the Statue of Liberty, hovering in front of her nose and taking GoPro high definition video and saying, hello. Is that a booger? See, you know, so this is, you know, and going around the torch and doing, and this perspective is what I wanted for the animation of Freedom's Phoenix, you know, as the fires of liberty, you know, the flames of liberty start to wink out, and then a little puff of smoke starts going up, the winds of freedom come in and churn it, and boom, the Phoenix bird comes out, Freedom's Phoenix. It turns into a spaceship. It shoots up. You know, I mean, there's a whole animation that we got planned for, you know, what we're doing in the future. Just got to get guys there, animators. Yeah, all you guys out there that are animated, let me know. I got a gig for you, okay? So, you know, contact me. So what we did is we go, okay, how would we do that? I mean, you can buy stock footage. You can go get, you know, what, or you can just do it yourself. Well, the point of this film was that these drones and everything, civilians got at least as much, if not more, innovation in what can be done. They start mounting guns on them upside down, you know, handguns to go around shooting things and machine guns, and it could be drone and blow up and whatever. And you know, the man's not going to like that. So just to show that how security is, just seriously, these drones going around, you know, circling around, looping around, going in and around and through and over and around the Golden Gate Bridge, Statue of Liberty, Empire State Building. You know, flying around in this itty-bitty little drone, seeing everything. 2-3 years ago, at a Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, I saw the rollout of what they call the Parrot. It's a quadcopter that is a toy with, you know, video. And you use your iPad or your Android to fly it, your smartphone or your tablet. You see on the screen what it sees. You can pre-program all kinds of different stuff. Go to this place, come back, do this, go out, you know, automated kind of do drone pre-flight. What? Done! Done! And where do you get the stuff? I got it up on Freedom's Phoenix. There's a link to it. So, and who's one of the head guys doing this? The editor-in-chief of Wired Magazine. He got a whole private company devoted just to drones. One of the other things that they do, and we've been covering this for years, where you been? What we discovered is they do a thing called swarming. You'll imagine you have a small, the size of a golf ball, and it's lighted. And it's LED lights. It could be several different color lights to where it becomes a pixel. You take and you swarm these. You can put, you know, 200 of them, and all of a sudden, with lights and positioning, it make a 3D representation of a face. Just out in the clouds. I mean, you're sitting there walking down the street and all of a sudden you got this face talking to you, and it's a bunch of little drones together coordinating, doing whatever. They have the drones going around, you know, playing instruments. One's banging on a drum, one's plucking a, you know, a guitar string, one's, you know, pushing an organ key. You know, they're playing music in coordination. Flying. You have a whole bunch of them. All of a sudden, they go in a single file or two together and go through a window and then spread out through a house. Minority Report. This is stuff that's in the hands of the people now. You think the bad guys are going to go? So when we show up and go down to the, you know, State of the State address, and we're at the Bill of Rights thing, and we say, yo, what's up, and we surveil the whole thing with our own drones.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies.
Yeah, and how do we do that? Okay. So it's just, I'm just thinking out loud with you. You know, there's a lot of things that come in. I didn't think about it. And that was 20 years ago. I'm getting all geared up and ready and training and taking flight lessons and flying ultralights and getting, oh yeah, here we go, and we got, you know, sights to land and everything. And that really, it was all about getting the attention to something else. So when something else I saw could get the attention, I didn't have to do it. I didn't do it. I spent the money on, you know, sending to everybody that called me about the pro thing and data bait and here and kind of shared, and this is what needs and here we go, and, you know, cool. So, but I always thought of that, man, that would be cool if I could, you know, tour the state with a bit, now with the, you know, GoPros and the itty bitty living space, these cameras and everything. Arizona is very beautiful, and you'll see this with the Team Black Sheep, that these videos are awesome. Well, who got concerned? Department of Homeland Security. These guys are from Austria. They're flying around everywhere all the time showing, say, hey, we go to America and we'll show Hoover Dam flying over and dive down and go in the bridge and kind of new. I finally got to see what that damn bridge, because when you fly, go over the new bridge, it goes over that bypasses going over the top of Hoover Dam. The sides are up so high, you don't even get to see the canyon or the dam or nothing. You know, you're driving and I said, God, did I just go over a bridge? Nope, done. Damn it. I just finally got to see what it looked like. Yee-hoo! Okay. Get up close to the Statue of Liberty and say hello. Go whipping around and flying through, you know, the structure, you know, going through little openings in the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm going, you know, I vote yes on that. You, two thumbs up. You guys get the Oscar. All right. So they're just out having fun with the remote control, and you'll see them standing there, and the plane's going whizzing right by them in front of them and so on, and they can see themselves, you know, but they're so into the plane because they got 3D vision goggles on kind of flying. And you're going, how freaking cool is that? That brings me back to Hogan and his book, Bug Park. You know, this stuff, you know, it's coming, if not already here, but I'll tell you the story. How it starts off is that there is a company that's owned by a guy that makes small robots. Exactly what's going on here. Itty bitty interface, video, audio, and he could tap into some physical sensations too. So you put on this suit and you have the helmet and you're inside this little 2-inch miniature robot, this little Halo, this little man, an old soldier guy. And at that small of stage, you find out why insects have stingers and clamps and claws and this kind of stuff, because there's not enough mass to hit something. You can't swing a blade and do anything. You have to puncture them, okay? So you go, okay, so they do the stinger thing. So they go around with swords and spears all the time, all right? These little guys, they go out in the garden. Well, these little men are the old version. These are the 2-inch high, and they want 2-millimeter high. I mean, you know, so the company, as they start developing this technology, and you got the, you know, little 2-inch guys, you know, he just gives them to his kids. He goes, here, you know, here's a 8-12-year-olds, you know, and you know, you want to get some innovation going, give something to an 8-12-year-old and see what happens, especially little boys. So you give them to him, and you say, yeah, here, go play with them, whatever. Well, what are they doing? They're slingshotting these things with parachutes up in the air, putting them in their remote control airplanes, you know, launching them in the whatever and going out in the garden doing battle with prey mantis and kicking bees' butts. I mean, bring that wasp on, man. We're going to rock and roll. So they out there fighting. I mean, the exact same technology that they're using for these drones, they're out doing surveillance and so on. Well, get a bodysuit. Now, what's the difference? You know, you're operating, you know, this thing, just like these robots and stuff that they're doing now. You have avatars. You know, you are these transmission of yourself over the airwaves to a little whatever doing whatever. Okay? So here you have these little men running around in this book. And it was a kind of a spy thriller. They're going after his dad's company and they use these little things to spy, and they travel around, and, you know, however the heck they do it, and one's a remote control airplane as he's going and doing whatever. So I'm going, wow, this is freaking cool. Spielberg haven't made this movie yet. George Lucas is not doing this. Who is not making Bug Park into him? I can't believe, and with this technology and what they're doing here, man, I already got it in my head. And because I do, that means it's going to happen. Sooner or later, Bug Park gets made. With old technology. I mean, it's already, you know, it was 20 years ago, but now it's like, oh, the hell, they got it. So what happens, of course, they're developing in smaller and smaller robots that, you know, start building themselves, and all of a sudden you got, like, when the Earth stood still and these little mosquito things go and devour the Earth, you know, kind of deal. So we got that to, you know, be concerned about, because damn. But all of a sudden we're starting to see now that they have little robot mosquitoes. They look like mosquitoes. They even got a little, you know, venom injector thing, syringe, get boom and get you with whatever, or extract DNA samples from you, or give you something for your DNA. And you're going, man, where does this stop? Well, it's always, technology is always a double edge to the man, because the people get creative too. They have all kinds of stuff. They don't want you to be able to do that. You're not allowed to look. You're not allowed to record. You're not allowed. Because, you know, what do we have on Freedom's Phoenix today? You know, let's go ahead and go over some of the news. We'll just go in order here and, you know, that have it up and random, and you'll see how this ties in. California gun sales jump. Gun injuries and deaths fall. Dealers sold 600,000 guns in California last year, up from 350,000 in 2002, according to records of sales tallied by the California Attorney General's Office. During the same time, the number of California hospitalizations due to gun injuries declined from about 4,000 annually to 2,900, a roughly 25% drop, according to hospital records collected by, and they don't care. Doesn't matter. You know, you have all this drug war, gun war, all this other kind of on any freedom, whatever, in Mexico, you got 30,000 people in shallow graves, you know? Yeah, but that doesn't count. You know, and just, I think the people are starting to wake up to this stuff. Senate approves warrantless electronic spy powers. Now, this, what I'm showing here is a, I think it was his AT&T, and they have this room. And it's kind of a sealed door that just kind of, you know, that nobody knew what was back there. And guys kind of go in and out. That was the room that latched on to the entire trunk of electronic communications. They were eavesdropping everything. You know, so I remember when that was breaking, we were covering that years and years ago. The FISA Amendments Act, which was, and we've got the PDF linked here, which was expiring Monday at midnight, allows the government to electronically eavesdrop on Americans' phone calls and emails without a probable cause warrant, so long as one of the parties to the communication is believed outside the United States. The communications may be intercepted to acquire foreign intelligence information. Now, this was what was his name? Tice Rice. He was the NSA guy saying, yeah, BS. They're taking everything. I was there. I was doing it. Okay. So, you know, yeah. No. You can only do that if. Well, these you don't listen to and these you do. Right. Okay. So they Senate voted for that one. You know, Donna, do me a favor. See if you can do Senate FISA, F-I-S-A, and what Rand Paul's vote on it was. You know, I'm just, you know, you would think you would know, but you just don't know. I mean, he does weird stuff. Okay, Ron Paul, Republicans and Democrats pretend to be fighting, CNBC. We probably will watch that later in the show, because I watched that. And it's just, it's not very long. It's only a few minutes, and it's just, ouch quit. They're going to do whatever they're going to do. Oh, this one I threw up this weekend. Elaine Morgan says we evolved from aquatic apes. This is a TED Talk, and she's like 80-something years old, and she's going, look, man. You know, the reason we're hairless is because, you know, like hippopotamus and, you know, all these things that come from, like, dolphins and whatever that come from the ocean, on mammals on the land, always came from the ocean. And there's some fossil record that we evolved from, you know, aquatic whatever, and, you know, get over it. And then it's like, okay, so that was interesting. This one, oh, this is a machine gun. I found this interesting. HK-121, General Purpose Machine Gun. And I'll tell you, this thing, I was surprised at how smooth this thing was. You know, this is a machine gun that just goes zzz, and it hardly even moves. Look at that. I found that, I don't know what the action is on this thing, but they definitely don't want us to have this one. You know, I'm going, HK, look at that. Woo-hoo. That was cool. So I'm going, all right, so I put that up for you guys. Oh, let's see. Iceland, they put a couple of bankers in jail. Oh, when was the last time that happened? Oh. Bankers went to jail. Really? Okay. All right. Let me talk about that a little bit. Oh, we got a bunch of stuff. Oh, yeah, Congress got a pay raise. Congress got a pay raise. We got a bunch of other stuff to go over when we come back.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. There is still no deal to avoid tax hikes for everyone and deep spending cuts in Washington, where Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson is live.
And House Democrats like California's Javier Becerra are looking to get something done.
And I hope the House Republican leadership lets us put bills on the floor that can pass.
But House Speaker John Boehner has said he's waiting for the Senate to pass a bill, and that process is showing some signs of hope, according to South Dakota Republican Senator John Thune.
Senator McConnell and Vice President Biden are continuing to discuss this, and we think there perhaps still could be a path forward.
A statement from McConnell's office says the Republican leader and the VP talked well into last night, and Dave, they'll continue to work towards a solution.
Rich, there is also worry about a milk price spike. The Congress is also trying to avoid. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern live on Capitol Hill.
A federal dairy policy expires tomorrow that would return milk prices to a 1948 formula, leading to a spike in prices within weeks. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack warns as much as $7 a gallon. The Senate has approved an extension of the farm bill, so has a House committee, but so far prospects have stalled in the full House, Republicans balking at the size of the legislation. Still, the House has readied a trio of bills, one simply extending that dairy policy to avoid the price spike. Dave.
Jared, Hillary Clinton is in a New York hospital. The Secretary of State being treated for a blood clot found after the concussion she got from a fall earlier this month.
Her recent illnesses have really grounded her some. She had to cancel an overseas trip, and she was supposed to appear before Congress to answer questions about the Benghazi attacks.
Teresa Priolo with Fox affiliate WNYW outside New York's Presbyterian Hospital. Now, the Senate will today release a report about that Benghazi attack that killed four Americans in Libya. It's critical of the State Department for security failures and also puts some blame on the Pentagon and White House. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced. We don't know who, but someone has claimed the remains of Adam Lanza, the gunman in the Connecticut school massacre, and that someone wants to remain anonymous. Attorney Irving Pinsky is trying to sue the state on behalf of a Newtown survivor for $100 million.
The state of Connecticut and other states, too, are failing to protect the children from guns.
Tribune Company is out of bankruptcy after more than 4 years of restructuring. The LA Times and Chicago Tribune publisher also owns WGN and 22 other TV stations.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
That we're going to start talking about is I hold off. I keep telling you guys every time one of these mass shooting things happen. Yep, 3 weeks. Yeah, but I need to know now, and you should say. I go, no, 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Takes 3 weeks. And I learned that from Vince Prenoit, 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, all of a sudden you go, I don't think it means what you think it means. Okay? There's been, man, if this isn't a neon flashing example. My friend Gary's been sending me, I asked him, I said, you know, Sunday, I go, from you researching this and listening, you know, various shows and going on different sites. And what veterans, was it Veterans Today? I think it's a site that has a lot of stuff. And they got a lot of contacts, you know, and Department of Homeland and military and law enforcement, and that kind of stuff. So you might pay attention. And we put stuff up there a lot, and they're here they come. They're coming. They've been screaming. They're coming for the guns for a long time. And I'm going, you know, so what do you think? I mean, what do you think? I go, was Sandy Hook, you know, a stage, you know, what percentage do you think? 100%. And I trust his judgment, man. He goes, 100%. There's a state 100%. We get yesterday a guy named Art Oliver. He was the vice presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party back in, I think, 2000. And he did the movie you see advertised, I think the contract ends today, on Freedom's Phoenix for Operation Terror. And it was a dramatization, a movie, a feature movie that he did and paid for himself and funded and whatever and got and actors and done out of, you know, California on 9/11. And it just dramatized, you know, it's all, you know, agreed to stipulated comments and things people say. They just, you know, put it, them saying it, you know, and as they make this movie. So it's interesting. It kind of puts it together and you go, ooh, that's not good. And then we start seeing now Europe is really starting to get up on this Building 7 thing. You know, they're starting going to do the architects and engineers deal in Europe, going around the architects and they go, well, of course that was a demolition. Yeah, well, it's obvious that this was certainly Building 7. Yeah, well, yeah. Well, what's that? Where's that? Well, that was Building 7 that, you know, came down hours later after the two main buildings, World Trade Center. What? There was a third building? And that's it? That's detonation. You know, that's demolition. Yeah. What are you going to say about that? Damn. You know, so this is not going away. And Art Oliver sent, he said, you know, here's proof. That they, this was a stage thing. This is a, you know, veterans say, oh, it was Mossad this and them that and they them those. What was interesting is they show, there's always a chink in their armor. I mean, they can never get, you know, the swarming effect of the collective mind of the internet, you know, dissect all this stuff. And you know it was starting to get weird when they go, anyone that is, it doesn't matter if the lamestream media, the media so last century get things wrong, you know, that's just, you know, standard operating procedure. But if the people go out there and they report anything other than what we say is the official story, here we come. Shut down your Facebook. They want to prosecute you for, I don't know, whatever. And they were threatening that. Yeah, police chief, we're going to go aggressively when you say anything but, and we're going, ooh. Okay. And we knew something was wrong in the beginning. I tell you, the one thing that really we all went, yeah, we'll just wait the 3-week thing on this one and see what's up. It was when you have a killer is going to go in and off himself and he goes in with a mask. Somebody does this, they do it for attention, they want whatever, especially if they're going to kill himself, what do I need a mask for? You know, so I'm going, yeah, right. And then there's, and I'm going, all of a sudden they had this one little girl, oh, and she died, and she's dead, and this, and her husband, and father, and mother, and all of a sudden that same little girl is sitting on Obama's lap. It's like they had this, you know, this teaser family or trailer or something, you know, for the show, and they go and they're he's showing them how these guys are staged and doing, oh, camera ready, okay, here we go. I just watched it over Donna's shoulder a little bit. You watched the whole thing, didn't you, Donna?
Yeah,
it was only a couple of minutes. What'd you think of that? Did he make his point?
Yeah, the facts out there.
Okay, well, we may show it up here. She said it's only a couple of minutes, so we'll show it today. And because I haven't sat down and watched it all the way through, because I'm doing, nope, 3 weeks. I just accumulate this stuff, okay? All right, and then I'll start doing the study and have Gary send me all the stuff that he thought that was compelling from his perspective, and he goes, here. And there's a couple of them. I mean, it's chapter and verse from beginning to end how this is all staged. Do they care? They get caught. I mean, it doesn't matter what, you know, the truth is. You know what Goebbels say, you know, or Goebbels, you know, whatever, that German guy, propagandist. He goes, you know, you say enough times, it becomes the truth. And the bigger the lie, the easier to sell it. Okay. We've been through this before. And the speed at which this gets outed is, you know, amazing. And anybody, so what do? Oh, we think this, and this Facebook are the core spreaders of the whatever. Boom, they shut them down. Well, it just amps it up somewhere else. It just makes it even bigger. I don't know how they're going to win this thing. And I know if we go down and we're doing protests and we're whatever, and all of a sudden, yeah, we got live video streaming coverage of, you know, CNN, where are you? You know, it don't matter. Nobody cares what you think anyway. You know, live web streaming coverage of whatever protest, De La something with a guy in a hood flying around doing hello. Okay. We'll talk about that. We're going to go out of order here because I don't feel like ordering these. This is why ex-feds and Wall Street execs are going into hiding. Now, Dave Hodges has a radio show on the weekends, and he is a regular columnist for Freedom's Phoenix, and he lives here in the Northwest Valley. You know, he's a good guy and real conservative. You know, as I remember, he's the women's basketball coach at the Glendale Community College. He's a professor or something here, and he teaches, he coaches the women's basketball team, last I remember. And so he's a community member kind of getting into stuff. You know, what got him going was the government and railroad and doing something with his mom's land and kind of what the heck, and Agenda 21, kind of they knew whatever, and he went after them, you know, because he can. So here he goes. Now, here is what he's talking about. The ex-feds, you know, a lot of these guys are retired from various departments of, they're creating their own little communities. And they know what's coming. They know that it's going to be this roundup gun thing and whatever, gun confiscation and such. They know. So they're getting theirs and going out in the Lone Prairie with their buddies and kind of, they just want to ride this thing out like, you know, a lot of people. So he made a lot of comments about a lot of the gun stuff that's going on and what's happening and, you know, things that they're not. So, you know, you go check out Dave Hodges' piece on Freedom's Phoenix today. Then Alex Jones had this guy on talking about, yep, Doug Hagman is a Northeast Intelligence Network. You know, he has a lot of contacts in government and so on. And guys whisper in his ears and tell him what for. And when they tell me, I just tell you. And usually they're lying anyway. But, you know, so he's got some guys he trusts inside telling them, yep, we're going for the guns thing. Now, here they come. They really, I think they're overplaying their hand on this one. I don't, you know, maybe that's what all the chemtrailing was about. You know, a little extra fluoride in your water or something. You kind of, you know, whatever. You know, the testosterone diminishing. So I don't know what the heck. But if they can, they are. You know, that's just how I look at it. Now, Naomi Wolf, she came out with an article in The Guardian in the United Kingdom, revealed how the FBI coordinated the crackdown on Occupy. And she had some very interesting things to say. And there is a Freedom of Information request that got a document that we link to here in searchable format that shows how this fusion center thing works. Yep, it's what we've been telling you is going on the whole time.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
The left food, the right food, of the jackboot on your third party. Yep, 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 I feel it coming, I feel it, I feel it. Do you feel it? Can you feel it going in 2013? I feel it. You know, last week we had Ben Swan going on about, you know, is Ron Paul, I mean, not Ron, Rand Paul, is Rand Paul for us or Guinness? I mean, you know, what's going on here? So they made a big deal out of this one amendment that we're going to yada yada. And I think they kind of saw, yeah, maybe this didn't fly and we're going to have to pretend we're more Fourth Amendment oriented kind of something. And, you know, it's they keep continuing this stuff and they do. Well, I did an amendment that said, and in the title it said, prohibition against doing whatever. Well, there's case law that made it very clear. Look, the title of something don't mean squat. The title doesn't say what the statute does. It has to be in the body of the statute. So that's why everything is, you know, Patriot Act and Homeland Security. We, you know, love you fuzzy, you know, puppy love kind of whatever the hell legislation, okay? Because whatever it is, it's always opposite of whatever it says. It's just how they title it. So titles don't mean anything. Well, of course, he goes through and he says, blah, 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 except we're authorized by Congress. You can't do any of this except we're in some other section where we said you could. So he calls Rand out on this stuff. Yeah, your solutions are not coming from Washington. Rand Paul, I have absolutely no desire whatsoever to talk to him. Why? So I can go, yeah, well, what about this and really this and ouch quitted on that and got you on this and that. You know, I'm just, you know, he's his own worst enemy, so I ain't worried about it. I mean, you go dancing with the devil, you don't change him. Unless you're your dad. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, it's the exception that proves the freaking rule. And then you have Judge Napolitano up there. I think he might be, you know, we'll see. That definitely demeanor, and he's got some years left, so let's go whip ass, see what happens. Now, your cell phone is spying on you, of course. Police have not been shy about taking advantage of this data, according to the American Civil Liberties Union. Oh, my goodness. U.S. law enforcement agencies have 1.5 million requests for user data from cell phone companies in 2011. And under current interpretations of the law, you will never find out if they were targeting you. See, all this stuff, they're a little, you know, fuzzy around the edge, what you can't. Doesn't mean anything anyway. You know, what was his name? Russell Tice. I think it was an NSA guy. He goes, yeah, you know, the prohibition and violating law and that what doesn't matter. They're doing it anyway. Okay. You know, I'm so shocked. So what are we looking at here? Oh boy, 13 arrested for posting a video of a fight on Facebook. 13-year-old Canadian boy was arrested after posting a video of two girls fighting off school grounds. The boy was charged with mischief, which used to only be punishable by detention. And even then, only when the mischief took place on school grounds. So here we have, you know, a principal called the boy in his office and came aware of the video, posted on Facebook, and says, you're under arrest. Okay. These are good things everybody needs to know. Now, this is what I'm talking about, this drone stuff. You know, the video, imagine having this video from the air. Overlapping 5 gazillion people doing it. I mean, these drones are getting small and cheap enough. I mean, heck, I was shocked that this Parrot drone, it's called the AR Parrot. I think if you do that and look it up, this was 2 years ago. The thing was, you know, $200-$300 with video that you flew from your tablet, you know, your iPad, your Zoom, your smartphone, your Android, your iPhone. You sit there and flew it like you're, you know, steering a car. And I'm going, okay. And you see what it sees. And it records. And you can live web stream it now. And so, I mean, wow. So here, I'm going to show you this real quick. What they're talking about is this woman. It's like saying, yeah, move along. And now she said something, pissed her off. So, bam, this female cop drags her out of the crowd and they beat the snot out of her. Now, what do they say? Now, of course, they go, well, she something, okay? She said she did something, they did something, and then they find out after they get the video of this that's not what the cop said. A Seattle cop grabbed a woman out of a crowd of protesters and pulled her to the ground where several other officers pounced on her. The cop, Sonia Fry, claimed in her report that she grabbed Maria Morales because Morales had cursed at her and punched her in the chest. Not that she would even have grounds to do that if Morales had cursed at her. Morales was charged with assault. Then her lawyer came across the video on YouTube, which showed Morales neither cursing nor punched Fry, prompting prosecutors to drop the charge. So what does the woman do? Suing him. Good, go get him. Here's another one. This is photography is not a crime. You know, Carlos Miller put this up, and I'm just like, wow. I think Powell went and put all this stuff up. Here's a good one. Virginia judge denies qualified immunity to deputy caught on video attacking citizen. This is what was going on. It's at the entrance to a airport or out front or something. And there's a canine officer. It looks like he's got somebody stopped there for whatever reason. He's got his hands up. He's standing there with his hands in the air. This sheriff deputy pulls up behind him. And like sneaking up on him, stops the car, jumps out, and just cold cocks him in the head with his elbow from behind. Just runs up and just lays him out. Okay? Go ahead and watch this, those of you on video. Gets out of the car. The guy's got his hands up. See his hands up? Goes up behind him. And boom! Boom shakalaka! Down on the ground! Rip them arms back and see you make you say, Uncle! Uncle! Okay? I'm like, wow! I mean, it doesn't matter what. I don't know how they're going to get away with this one. I mean, they don't. But, you know, I mean, he was going to do something. In a typical display of law enforcement aggression and fabrication, a Virginia sheriff's deputy came charging up behind an unsuspecting citizen who had his hands in the air, ramming his elbow into the back of his head and sending him sprawling to the pavement, rendering him unconscious, only to later claim that the man was about to attack another deputy. He was gonna. So I'm like, okay. Well, this is, where is this? London County? Yeah, Virginia, wherever. In a mall or something. So I'm going, wow, this is typical stuff. Okay. So this happens everywhere. I mean, this mentality, this attitude, permeates from the top. Well, this is where Naomi Wolf was talking about the beginnings of this collaboration between the banks, they, them, those, whatever, the federal government, the FBI, Homeland Security, your local police department, fusion centers. And the Freedom of Information request and bank, and they came across this, and they go, yep, here's the memo. And it was being directed from banking. The politically connected kind of up, and we want and overtime and pay for all the stuff that we've been talking about we knew was going on. It is a coordinated attack from those, they, them, those that really control whatever, and your local police department is just a functionary tip of the spear of the man from Lord knows where. Constitutional rights be damned. Naomi warned to this about 10 steps to fascism.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay. James Bovard has a new thing he sent. He goes, oh, Ernie, I just got, I think he's published in Wall Street Journal. And he goes, here's some goodie for you, man. You want to put this up? It's about how the Dairy Cliff will cream customers. He's talking about milk and, all the subsidies that go into the dairy and blah, 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 blah. And, and fiscal cliffing and so on. And he makes a point and funny. Go read Jim Bovard. But first, I want to go over this. Revealed how the FBI coordinated the crackdown on Occupy. The partner, this is Naomi Wolf in The Guardian, UK. The Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, in a groundbreaking scoop that should once more shame major U.S. media outlets. Why are nonprofits now some of the only entities in America left breaking major civil liberties news? Because lamestream media filed this request. They're talking about the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund. The document, reproduced here in an easily searchable format, shows a terrifying network of coordinated DHS, Department of Homeland Security, DHS, FBI, police, regional fusion center, and private sector activity so completely merged into one another that the monstrous whole is, in fact, one entity, in some cases bearing a single name, the Domestic Security Alliance Council, and it reveals this merged entity to have one centrally planned, locally executed mission. The documents, in short, show the cops and the DHS working for and with banks to target, arrest, and politically disable peaceful American citizens. The documents, released after long delay in the week between Christmas and New Year, show a nationwide metaplot unfolding in city after city in an Orwellian world. Six American universities are sites where campus police funneled information about students involved in Occupy Wall Street to the FBI. With the administration's knowledge, banks sat down with FBI officials to pool information about Occupy Wall Street protesters harvested by private security, plans to crush Occupy events planned for a month down the road, were made by the FBI and offered to be representatives of the same organizations that the protest would target. And even threats of the assassination of Occupy Wall Street leaders by sniper fire. By whom? Where? Now remain redacted and undisclosed to those American citizens in danger, contrary to standard FBI practice to inform the person concerned when there is a threat against a political leader. Wow. Not only are they having meetings with the private sector, the banks, might as well be the government, they're going, yeah, here's all the information we got from private sources. Here's all the you know, account information. Here's how you can turn off their Facebook, PayPal, this, you know, blah, 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 WikiLeaks kind of stuff. And, oh, by the way, if they get unruly, we just need to, we'll just, you know, we'll just Martin Luther King, RFK, JFK them. You know, it's not like, you know, hell, dude, we'll do it to presidents. You think we give a crap about little old you? This is what Naomi Wolf warned us of. She wrote the book, or the article, 10 Steps to Fascism, and she wrote a book, too, and did a documentary called America Something. And when she did this, I was producing for Charles. We had her on Charles' show talking about the 10 steps she went through and so on. When she spoke at the – you have, you know, it's like a half a second of me introducing her at the Revolution March in Washington, D.C., July 12th, I think it was, the Revolution March. And Gary Franchi and I emceed that, and I introduced Naomi. I said, no, I know Naomi. I'll go ahead and introduce her and so on. About a minute or two before she went on, we're getting ready, the previous speaker, I can't remember who it was, but they were getting done. I'm getting up there to go introduce her. In her movie, it shows me, and I say, Naomi Wolf, and then she comes up. And, you know, I can't remember what I said, but I remember right before I went up to introduce her, she pulled me aside. She says, Ernie, you libertarians were right. And it was because we've had discussion, you know, as a producer, I talked to her a little bit. Charles talked to her. She knew who I was and who she was. And she's well known as a feminist. You know, she is all, you know, women, whatever. And, you know, known on the, oh, yeah, the beauty myth. That's what her thing was. She's an attractive woman. She's, you know, short. She's probably, you know, 5'4 or something like that. You know, long flowing brunette hair and relatively young and attractive. Has a daughter. And her thing was, she goes, when they start coming after the journalist, you know, I got a kid. You know, when they start targeting, you know, I'm back and I'm over here, man, because I, you know, that's what I have. When that happens, you know, you won't see me. So when the Occupy Wall Street stuff was going on and she was in front of the cameras out there doing it, kind of surprised me. You know, because a lot of that had already started happening, you know, some journalists. I guess she figures it got enough attention and she was willing to, you know, probably, if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. She's feeling a little bit safer doing that. So when she admitted, she goes, yeah, you guys are right. Well, what does that mean? You know, Ron Paul, Lou Rockwell, Mises Institute, Lou Rockwell's blog, or LouRockwell.com, and so on. So she knows that we know. And but she still has her, you know, there's no reason. The big problem that libertarians always do is they'll go run and wrap arms and legs around, want her to be a spokesperson for it and get and do and whatever. Not, you know, whatever. You just stay where you're at. You go be progressive. You go bring them over, you know, whatever. It's just part of the tapestry. So I don't get, because she's, I don't know. She was kind of softening up on this anti-gun thing, too. You know, I think she starts to realize, you know, this gun thing, it's what all these libertarians have been saying. It's not about knuckle dragging. We got to go get us some immigrants and, you know, don't, you know, disarm the blacks and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's about the reason they have gun control is to disarm the blacks. When you had black slaves being freed and they said, oh, hell no, we don't want them to have guns. We got to have where the sheriff gets to determine whether you get your right to carry or not. And guess what? Let me think. You're black. Yeah, but he's black. Okay. Now, that is why it is such a, the BATF form that you fill out, you know, I'll bet you, we'll look at this. It's called the BATF yellow form. And I'll bet you it still has race. As much as this, you know, you have Obama in there, and at the very least, you don't fill out the form. Okay, they already got it. BATF form 4473. I guess that might be it. Let me see. See firearm prohibitive law, the form. Okay, let's go look at it. It won't let me do it. All right. So these forms, they ask a lot of questions. One, have you renounced your citizenship? Okay. Did you do this? Did you do that? Okay. It says something to be signed. When must transfer? Now here's the ATF, and then they'll know I'm looking. Here we go. Let's see. Yada, 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 yada. Yeah, we'll pull it up in the break here. Donna, pull up, send me a link to an BATF gun purchase yellow form or something like that. Go in gun purchase form. Because I'll bet you it still has in there to ask your race. Why would that be a question on a civil rights oriented, can I please protect myself, Second Amendment, gun, equal protection under the law form in I'm getting a gun? What since when did race have it? Always had a point. That was where it started. On Freedom's Phoenix, we have this one story, and it's called Disarmed Negroes. Disarmed Negroes. I watched this. It was a fan. I think a JPFO had something to do with it. Jews for Preservation of Firearm Ownership. It was a cool video. And it's like, yep, this is where it started. This is why and this is how. I'm like, you know what? We need to get us another DVD going with that included in a nice big giant we're going to activist pass out thing.
Liberty Coin and Precious Metals lets me meet face to face with an expert who takes the time to know me and my investment needs. You can't get that kind of personal attention on the web or from a faraway company. I trust Liberty. Visit their Scottsdale store or call 877-888-8052. That's 877-888-8052. Liberty Coin and Precious Metals.
Liberty.
Did you know that Free Aid is a mutual aid, educational, and networking organization? At Free Aid, we support volunteers who provide first aid. We do outreach to the public about health and safety, and we bring together medically skilled freedom lovers. Free Aid is made possible by your generous support. Donors can receive great gifts like first aid kits, t-shirts, silver dime cards, and hoodies. The Free Aid Silver Dime Card Project is sponsored in part by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Freedom's Phoenix, and Don't Tread on Meme. Visit fr33aid.com.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
U.S. Department of Justice Bureau, Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Let's look at this. Okay, let's see. Warning, you may not receive a firearm if prohibited by state or federal law. Federal state law, the information you provide will be used to determine whether you are prohibited under law from receiving a firearm. Certain violations of the Gun Control Act, 18 U.S.C., yada, 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 are punishable by up to 10 years imprisonment and or up to $250,000 fine. You know, the guy that shot the fireman, you know, he set his house on fire. Fireman came, and then he shot, I think, four of them and a cop or something. You know, two of them died. And he's whacked out, crazy, whatever, and they didn't want to. Yeah, he went to jail for bashing the head in, I think, 13 times with a hammer of his grandmother or something. So this guy was not, you know, screwed on tight to begin with. So he serves his sentence and gets out. Of course, if he was smoking marijuana, he'd still be in jail. But, you know, so I guess he didn't have the add-on of, you know, drugs, so they let him out. So he gets out, and he has a neighbor, a young woman when she was like 21 or something like that, had her go and buy some firearms for him. Well, she admitted it. Oh, yeah, I did it. I'm so sorry. Boom. Boom. Straw purchase. You in trouble, kind of whatever. You know, anyway, so she's in trouble. So, you know, don't talk to cops. All right. So here we have, you know, your name, your address, your place of birth, okay, or country, your height, your weight, are you male, female, your birthday, your social security number. It says optional, but will help prevent misidentification. You know, I don't give a crap. Heck, misidentify him being better. I don't know. So anyway, so they go, okay, so you don't have to give your Social Security number. And a lot of people, they just don't put it. You say, well, you got it. No, I don't. And you'll look on the back of it, and they'll say, okay, you don't, it's not required. And then some places they want, they don't know. They're just some clerk. They, you know, they have no idea. So then you go, and personal identification number, you know, which is a lot of times they'll give a UPIN to someone that doesn't have a Social Security number. So when you file your taxes, that, you know, if you have illegal aliens working for you, they don't care. Yeah, file your taxes. We'll give you a special number. You know, the government doesn't care. I've had employees, they get their UPIN number, and they didn't give a crap they have Social Security, because a lot of them, they had, oh, you're number 13, Juan Valdez. We need to give you a real, here's your real number. Okay. Fill out your paperwork. Don't care. Ethnicity, Hispanic or Latino, not Hispanic or Latino. What the hell is that about? That's 10A. 10B, race, check one or more boxes. American Indian or Alaska Native, Asian, Black or African American, Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander, white. You know, do you get to select Nunya, as in Nunya business, or what the hell difference does it make? This is a, if this isn't a racist form right here, I mean, it's just, and in fact, this is from the old days, because if you're black, well, I'm sorry, you don't get one. That is one of the disqualifying things. If I'm Sheriff De La Macon Dixon line guy. All right. Answer questions 11A. See exceptions through 11 through 12, if applicable, by checking or marking yes or no in the boxes to the right of the questions. Are you the actual transferee, buyer of the firearm? Listen to the firearm. Warning. You are not the actual buyer if you are acquiring it for someone else, blah, blah, blah. You know, boom, yes, no. If you put no in any of these, you don't get to have the firearm. Everybody knows. I go, yeah, whatever. Yes, on everything. Well, I got to get you to fill it out. If you are picking up a repaired firearm for another person, you are not required to answer 11A and may proceed to 11B. Now, what's interesting, and this is where they get a lot of people, a lot of these little sting operations and so on, if you do any work on a firearm, you know, especially if you're a licensed dealer, you go in, they touch it. They tighten the screws on the scope, and they don't fill out one of these forms. Boom, they're in violation, and here they go. And that's exactly what's happened to a lot of people I know, that they just, you know, to get them to pressure and turn on and do, and they'll get them to kind of touch it and do, oh, gotcha. You know, these guys have no limits. Are you under indictment or information in any court for a felony or any other crime for which the judge could imprison you for more than 1 year? Yes or no. Have you been convicted in any court of a felony or other crime, blah, blah, blah? Yes or no. Are you a fugitive from justice? Why? Yes, I am. You know, all right, whatever. I think that's the only, I can't remember how you're supposed to answer these. Anyway, I guess you got to read them, because if you do all one, then you get nailed. Are you an unlawful user or addicted to marijuana or any depressant stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substance? Now, this is where all this stimulant, drug, mental ill Obama's coming in. You got to list all your prescription kind of stuff. This is where they're going to be doing this kind of thing. You see where this is going? Have you ever been adjudicated mentally defective, which includes a determination by a court, board, commission, or other lawful authority that you are a danger to yourself or others, or are incompetent to manage your own affairs, or have you been committed to a mental institution? This is where they get to that, God, that phobia, you know, of you're against the government. You must be crazy. If you're an anti-government, droning, killing people and little children and doing and stomping on rights and spending your money and blah, 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 well, then you must be crazy. You're crazy. You know, this is what they're coming up with, new mental disorders for you being against getting pounded on all the time. All right. Can't have a gun. Have you been discharged from the armed services under dishonorable conditions? Are you subject to a court order restraining you from harassing, stalking, or threatening your child or an intimate partner or child of such partner? Now, in some states, the second you file for divorce, boom, restraining order. I think it's in Texas. You know, just by getting a divorce, you get a restraining order. You can't have a gun. I mean, this was going on for a long time, too. Okay. Have you ever been convicted of any in any court of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence? You got any kind of the cop got called on, you did, and I don't even know if it's even convicted. They put it in your record as haven't even been accused. You know, we've had cases of that, too. Have you ever renounced your United States citizenship? I was born in a hospital in Dade City, Florida. Are you a U.S. citizen? I was born in a hospital in Florida. Are you a citizen? I don't know. I was born in a hospital. You know why? Is there something I got? Where's the form I fill out? What did you know what? When I go through the checkpoints, they always say, "Are you a citizen?" I was born, and they don't know what to do with that. I go, it's like a legal question. Are you a citizen? I mean, they want yes. I hereby claim that I am a United States citizen. Yeehaw! Pledge allegiance, Heil Hitler. Are you an alien illegally in the United States? No. Are you an alien admitted to the United States under a non-immigrant visa, blah, blah, blah? Are you an alien admitted to the United States in a non-whatever, okay? All these different little things. What is your state of residence? What is your country of citizenship? If you are not a citizen of the United States, what is your U.S.-issued alien number, admission number? Now, this is a good point to bring up. In Arizona State's Constitution, it says, if you are a resident of the state of Arizona or intend to be a resident of the state of Arizona, you're part of the state militia. At least that's what I used to say. I don't know, they keep changing it. So I'm just going, I found that interesting when we started SAFE. I'm going, yeah, this, you know, the citizenship thing in the United States, whatever, had nothing to do with this. They were like, it had nothing to do with bare arms. If you, you know, you're breathing in and out, you fog this mirror, go get yourself a gun. What they were talking about is you're a member of the militia. And it was 17 to 54, I think. And if you're male, 17 to 54, you're part of the state militia if you live here or even intend on living here. So, you know, get over it. So what we did when all this militia stuff was going on, SAFE, we filed an initiative. And it was a SAFE militia. Oh, you know you get all kinds of attention on that. We could probably do it again, too. These guys are so naive. What we did is it said, if you are male between certain ages, you know, then you got to whatever. So we said, all willing, able-bodied men and women. So all we did was add two. We didn't address the age thing. We added two words, willing and women. And when it came to, look at that, you go, no, 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 no. That's already in our Constitution. It already says that. What we're saying is we don't think it should be compulsory and you shouldn't discriminate against women. And they go, yeah, but you want to no, the militia's already there. It's required. We're trying to get it to where you don't have to be. And you're not excluded because you're a woman. We're just trying to be politically correct. Oh, they fell for that one. We got all kinds of press on that. They're so predictable. More when we come back.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
Before you cross the street, you better look both ways, or we'll throw you in the pokey for a dozen days. And all around the county, every woman and man knows, we'll pull you over just to play our banjo.
The Police Accountability Report, brought to you by CopBlock.org. CopBlock is a decentralized project supported by a diverse group of individuals united by their shared goals of police accountability, education of individual rights, and the dissemination of effective tactics to utilize while filming police.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of the Police Accountability Report, brought to you by CopBlock.org. This week, a few stories that should cause anyone critically thinking to see that those wearing badges aren't always operating with the best of intentions. A former Moulton, Alabama police officer has been indicted for allegedly beating 2 8-year-old girls. Moulton police officer Mitchell Breland was charged by a Lawrence County grand jury. Authorities had arrested the 27-year-old in September after an investigation by the Alabama Bureau of Investigation. The case originated from complaints by hospital personnel who treated one of the alleged victims for injuries consistent with abuse. Police employees said the indictment alleges that Breland repeatedly whipped the two girls. The charges are Class C felonies, punishable by a minimum of 1 year and a maximum of 10 years in prison. Breland is free on $5,000 bail. In New York, two former New York City police officers convicted of official misconduct over their interaction with a drunken woman they helped get home have started their jail sentences. Franklin Mata and Kevin Marino appeared separately in state Supreme Court in Manhattan late December and were taken into custody. The men were accused of rape but acquitted. They were convicted of misconduct in May 2011 for repeatedly returning to the accuser's apartment while telling dispatchers they were elsewhere. And finally, a judge found former Pennsylvania State Correction Officer Tori Kelly guilty on 4 criminal counts related to inmate abuse and not guilty on 10 following a week-long non-jury trial. Kelly had been a guard at the state prison in Pittsburgh. Kelly now faces sentencing on March 20th for the 4 crimes of simple assault, official oppression, terroristic threats, and intimidation of a witness. The intimidation charge is a felony. The others are misdemeanors. All relate to interactions 2 years ago with a single inmate, Randy Jones, who was housed in the prison's F block for a few days. F block is the scene for what investigators said was a systemic abuse of inmates viewed as pedophiles, or the genesis for what defense attorneys suggest is a massive conspiracy to smear guards. All of the accusers were convicted of sex crimes with minors. All had credibility problems, from shifting stories to motives, including the hopes of big civil lawsuit recoveries and potential parole consideration. Judge Cashman did not find their accounts proved Mr. Kelly guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Kelly's attorney said, "The types of inconsistencies and outright falsehoods that had been brought into this courtroom are enough to create reasonable doubt." Assistant District Attorney John Pittman countered by saying, quote, "I would say the evidence is overwhelming," end quote, and noted that 4 victims unequivocally identified Mr. Kelly as the assailant and offered similar accounts. Randy Jones has requested protective custody, and Pittman says he did so because he's afraid of the guards. Kelly was stunned by the verdict. He also faces a likely March trial on 5 counts stemming from an August 2011 encounter with another former officer, Curtis Hoffman. Hoffman has told investigators that Kelly tried to egg him into a fight in an alleged effort to intimidate him out of talking with investigators, and testified that Kelly bragged about beating up inmates. He said he didn't see any of the encounters alleged by Kelly's 4 accusers. Are these really the types of actions you want to continue paying for? That's this week's Police Accountability Report, brought to you by CopBlock.org. Until next week, stay safe and remember that badges don't grant extra rights.
When you're in our county and you want to drive, just remember to go 55. Because all around the county, every woman and man knows we'll pull you over just to play our banjos.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid. Well,
I tell you one thing, Mickey, feared is how long is your legislative session for your state? You know, I'm looking at this. Donna found this. You know, the legislative session starts, you know, whenever and ends whenever. And I'm looking at this, and Arizona is relatively short. It goes from second Monday in January to the end of May. Well, some, you know, I remember Nevada, they just have one short session for a few months every 2 years. So they go in, they do it, and then they take the year off. You know, cool. New Mexico is like a couple of months, you know, but there are some of these that just go year round. Let's think about it. Well, the longer ones is California. Okay, more government. Illinois, they just go year round. Okay. Massachusetts, Michigan, you start to see a pattern here. New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, U.S. Congress. You know, the longer the legislative session, the worse government you get. Man, if that isn't a freaking neon flashing light. Okay, all right. Short sessions may not be a whole lot better, but, you know, less for them to do. Okay, now let's go ahead and go into this one. There's a lot of stuff here. But the one that I want to focus on now is Art Oliver did Operation Terror, which was a dramatization of the quotes from what was known about what happened in 9/11. And I got a lot of awards and so on, and we had him on the show and promoting it on Freedom's Phoenix. And he did just this one short little two-minute thing, video, of how he goes, absolute proof that Sandy Hook was staged. Now, those of you that aren't on video, I'll go ahead and try and walk you through what he's saying here. Let's go ahead and see how this works.
It claims that 6-year-old Emily Parker on the right was shot in the Sandy Hook massacre. Here she is shown with her parents, along with her 3- and 4-year-old sisters. But the story that she was killed at Sandy Hook is not possible, because here she is sitting on the president's lap after the shooting. What may have happened is that when the photographer said to bring out the Parker girls, they brought out Emily by mistake. The rest of the Parker family changed their clothes after the family picture. But since Emily was not supposed to be in the picture with the president, she remained in the same dress. From left to right is Emily, her father, the president, her mother, her sister, and the family law attorney that claims to be her aunt. Here, the fake father makes his national TV debut.
To make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen to her.
Okay. Now, let me go ahead and make comments here. Now, we go back, and what he's showing is a family picture that was taken right before. I mean, it looks like it's a family picture from, you know, Lord knows when. It was taken right before the Obama picture because a couple things. One, the little girl's in the same dress, you know, and shoes and whatever. So I'm going, well, you could have just, you know, she'd been put on, you know, the same dress. She liked that dress. I'm going to meet the president. I'll put on my picture-taken favorite dress. Okay, that could be one explanation. Everybody else has changed in clothes except her. She gets into the picture, and we know she wasn't supposed to be because she was supposed to be dead. And her father is up there going, and they show him getting ready. He's like smiling and so on. And he's like, okay, we're ready. Do this thing. And turn on the tears. Here we go. Start the camera rolling. Well, they got a lot of his little prep. And then he's like, I'm the father of. And, you know, it's like, wow, who are these people? Well, you never hear from anybody else. You know, I heard that they had a law enforcement at the homes of every single one of the parents. You know, you don't talk to each other. You don't talk to anybody. You don't talk, you know, it's a, you know, get used to it. It's a 9/11 thing. All right. So here's a 9/11 guy that has done a movie based on this kind of drama. Man, he's got another movie coming. Here we go. So he's just, you know, I see where this is going. Okay. So then you skip forward and you get to where you have this little girl that's supposed to be dead sitting on the lap of the president. Now, I really came aware of this because we had something that was on Freedom's Phoenix that was over at Daily Paul to where they're going, look, this girl's not dead. Oh, and this other woman's kid's not dead. And this is, you know, and who's this? And what, you know, how are they doing? And they put up 2 days before the shooting that this person gets a Facebook page, and then we get the picture. Just a lot of weird little stuff that it takes the Love Illusionaries about, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes to find. and it's all coming crumbling down. There's something else going on here. This is, but you know, it doesn't matter how obvious the subterfuge is. It doesn't matter how much you know, pretend and made up and all this kind of, you know, if you don't support the official story, we're going to shut down your Facebook and go get you, and you're not allowed. Whew. And you wonder how Nazi Germany happened. Okay, so you're
supposed to be in the picture with the president. She remained in the same dress. From left to right is Emily, her father, the president, her mother, her sister, and the family law attorney that claims to be her aunt.
Okay, now let's pause.
And the family law attorney
at this picture right here. Now they have a picture of the family, and then them there, and so on. And you can see everybody changed except her, and the girl on the right is supposed to be dead. He's taking pictures with the president. Then he shows video of him on camera crying about how his daughter that's sitting there with the president had just before died, was killed. I'm like, what? You know, you can't make this stuff up. All right, so here he goes.
Debut.
To come to the microphone for a listener.
There we start. All right, ready? Turn it on. Squeeze some onions in my eyes.
My name's Robbie Parker. My family is one of the families that lost a child yesterday in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings here in Connecticut.
Just as the movie Operation Terror shows the 9/11 attacks as a made-for-TV event, so too are the mass shootings. It is important that the real parents of the victims do not get on television, as they might ask embarrassing questions like, why does the media claim that this car belongs to Adam Lanza, when it really belongs to Chris Rodia?
Now, they had gone through the back of some car, and that's where they had the gun in the back and everything. Well, of course, you can see in pictures as the license plate up, they say this belongs to this guy, and for this reason, they go, no, it belongs to this guy, and it's not, you know, what the heck is going on? Then they talk about chasing a guy into the woods. Now, listen to this.
69. The real parents might also ask, who gave the orders to release the man that the police caught running into the woods right after the shooting? Some claim that it was Chris Manfredonia, who has a child at the school, was the man running out into the woods. This is not true. Manfredonia did not run out into the woods, and he was not wearing camouflage pants in a black top. Only the man that the police captured and Adam Lanza were described as wearing camouflage pants in a black top. Although the LIBOR scandal connection to Sandy Hook is just another source of foul hoax, there can be no doubt that Sandy Hook was a staged event. If America was still a free country, all of the adults that participated in this cover-up would be prosecuted as accessories after the fact in a mass murder.
Whoa! See, this LIBOR thing. Yeah, it's a LIBOR. It's distraction. It's all distraction. Bait and switch. Kind of just, you know, 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And the truth always just starts leaking out between the fingers.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at donnahancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
You can interact with other LRN listeners in our message board at forum.lrn.fm. That's forum.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Put your hands out that window right now!
Gun drawn and commands firing.
Put your hands out the window!
An FHP trooper pulls over a Miami police officer.
Oh yeah, I'm serious!
Frisks him, cuffs him, and carts him to her cruiser. And during all of this, the Miami officer sounds just as shocked as she is mad.
Oh my God, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this at all.
It began unbelievably just minutes before, with his police cruiser seen here passing by the trooper like she's standing still.
It is a Miami police.
She chases him, lights flashing, engine screaming. As she describes him weaving in and out of lanes, speeding up and slowing down at speeds topping 120 miles an hour, until both finally come to a tense stop 4 minutes 57 seconds later.
Put your hands out the window!
The Miami officer quickly complies, quickly apologizes.
I apologize, but I was on my way to an off-duty. I didn't know you were stopping for me. I never saw you.
How do you not see a car with blue lights in the dark?
Ma'am, with all due respect, I don't.
You don't respect me, sir.
Ma'am,
you don't respect these people out here.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
35-year-old Miami officer Fausto Lopez says he was heading to an off-duty job at a Coconut Grove school.
It's a private school, but there's some high-end people there.
And he says he was late.
And I had to get there by 7 o'clock, and I didn't think I was going to make it.
His highest concern now appeared to be the handcuffs.
Honestly, the handcuffs are not necessary, ma'am. I'm very...
You know what? Right now, to me,
I'm a police officer.
Police reports show for allegedly racing at a high rate of speed in excess of 120 miles per hour while being extremely reckless, Officer Lopez was cited with a misdemeanor moving violation.
You scared me crap. I thought that car, that police car was stolen.
And as shocking as all this may appear, what the trooper says here may be even more arresting.
This is not a first time occurrence with y'all.
What's
y'all
right?
Come from that way all the time. This Miami police car, and we never catch it.
Okay. Now, what happened, though, is that now she fears for her life because they will not have anything to do with she needs backup anywhere or something. She's like, hey, man, I pulled over this cop. You know, she's like, and they're checking her, doing private searches on her, making her life hell, you know, blah, blah, blah. So here you have an officer. He's going to off-duty thing, and he's just screaming 120 miles an hour down the freeway, and they just do it with impunity. And she finally's like, no, I'm pulling him over, and you're criminal. And there was another one that was, I thought he was drunk. There was another guy that was drinking, I think, you know. That. Well, anyway, so this is, you know, I guess the thin blue line thing. Well, what happened was this last week there was the Iron Brotherhood, a Glendale gentleman that lives here, probably near where I'm at here, went up to Prescott, and they have a place called Whiskey Row. And it's just, you know, it's one reason to go to Prescott and, you know, and party, whatever. So there's a bunch of bars there and stuff on the weekends and night, and people go up there and they get a hotel room and they just, you know, do the bar hop one to another and then go sleep it off, come back down the valley next day or whatever. That's usually the drill. Well, this guy in Glendale goes up there, and I guess he wasn't welcome for whatever reason in some bar where a bunch of motorcycle gang was, and they beat the crap out of him. Police are called. He's like, hey, these guys did it. And all of a sudden, the Prescott Police and Sheriff's Department, they start recognizing some of the gang members as police. Well, come to find out, the Iron Brotherhood is only active and retired police officers can be in that, and only male, and only if they got an American V-twin, which means Harley or Victory or whatever. So these guys got their own little motorcycle gang thing going on. Okay. So we put up the their little claim to fame and what their criteria is, and if you're in support of the Brotherhood. Well, I know what that means. That means is, man, you got to be, you know, cops first kind of thing. Well, she arrested a cop. We're going 120 miles an hour off duty. Oh, hell no. And I think it was in a cop car, too. So she's like, look, man, I'm done with it. You know, so she's done. You know, next. All right. On the Aurora Theater massacre, the Batman killer kind of thing, evidence of multiple shooters at Aurora Theater massacre covered up. In light of evidence that a cover-up is underway concerning the Sandy Hook school massacre, I'm reposting the following article by Michael Kelly of the Business Insider, first published on Tuesday, 7th August 12. Readers of my first two articles on the Sandy Hook massacre will recognize alarming similarities between the two events. Notice, at the end of Kelly's article, that Holmes' court records were sealed. What I conclude from this is that the evidence collected by police directly contradicts the lone gunman narrative. This would mean that here, too, a cover-up has taken place. The logical reason for which is that it was done to protect the real perpetrators. Police audio raises the possibility that there were multiple shooters in the Dark Knight Massacre, blah, 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 and the blood trails and this and that. And they go out and this guy's standing out there, you know, just drugged out and what, you know. They want your guns. And they'll do whatever it takes to do it. All right, 3 weeks. You know, we waited 3 weeks on Aurora and a lot of stuff, because still stuff's coming out. You know, we'll do a big woo-hoo on this. You know, you just go to the gun category. Donna, the one that says evidence of multiple shooters at Aurora, go ahead and add that, add the category gun rights, and go ahead and put it in the safe edition. Because somebody, she put it in government and needs to go in gun rights too. So what happens is I'm going, all right, so there's what's the underlying theme here? What's going on? Hey, you know, I'll disarm you. Here in Macedonia, I think that's Spain, I would imagine, they have protesters are just calling on the whole entire government to resign. You know, and this is kind of going from country to country to country in Europe, and they know what's going on. They want to enslave future generations. They're going to just, this is how they turn future generations into tax slaves. You know, this happened in World War One. The reparations from World War One were so onerous that Germany, that's where Hitler came from. Screw you, man. And they just took all that money and built up arms and say, you know what? We kicked your ass, and I guess we don't owe you anymore. You know, until they did, and then they, you know, went and took them over. But, you know, that you do this kind of stuff, and you're just going to have an entire generation rising up, and it's not going to be a geographical thing. It's going to be a generational thing. They're not going to be borders that are, you know, young people care about. They don't care. You know, they don't see it like that. We had enough from this government. They are just spending, and we have no money to pay bills and feed our children, unemployed factory worker Sojanka Kostov said. And these are the signs that we put the billboards up here in the valley, and it was there everywhere. It's not my debt. You know, that's a baby with a barcode on her butt, and a baby even in the womb. Not my debt. Didn't do it. Not my fault. How you saddling it with me? What moral obligation do I have to pay you guys racking up the credit card? None.
Are you looking for camping, hunting, survival, or shooting gear? ManVentureOutpost.com carries the name brands you want at the lowest prices. Ammunition, knives, firearm accessories, archery, air guns, scopes, binoculars, laser sights, tactical flashlights, fish finders, and boating equipment. ManVentureOutpost.com is family-owned, members in good standing of the Better Business Bureau, and has the lowest prices. Go check it for yourself. Get it quick. Get it from ManVentureOutpost.com.
If you can't listen to the Liberty Radio Network's internet streams, free satellite channel, or radio affiliates, no worries. You can listen to LRN.FM from any phone, anywhere. Add this number to your phone. 213-493-0309. It's a long-distance call, so make sure you're familiar with your phone's calling plan. The Liberty Radio Network listen lines are locked into our stream 24 hours a day.
Congressman Paul, welcome back to the show. We appreciate your time.
Call 213-493-0309.
In the past, Congressman, you have indicated that you would be willing, and perhaps the best-case scenario is for America to go over the cliff.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish a TV show where I travel across this great nation eating pork in every one of our 50 states. Join me on my cross-country odyssey as I make our forefathers proud, reveling in life, liberty, and the pursuit of pork.
You really taste the cooked pork.
This stuff is fantastic.
I'm a big salt fan.
Let's pork! We're tasting prime pork dishes in every state in the Union, and I couldn't be more excited for this once-in-a-lifetime tour. You're going to be right here with me, seeing everything I do and watching every pork I taste. I'm Jim Haggerty. You know me as the host of Today Now, but I've also eaten in a ton of restaurants. Now I'm heading out on the road. My mission? Find the best pork our country has to offer.
Watch Jim Haggerty's Porkin' Across America at youtube.com/theonion.
This is the Onion News Network.
This is Mark of Free Talk Live. We've been witnessing a meltdown of the economic engine that powers our country. With a printing press tethered to Washington bureaucrats and New York central bankers, how can we trust paper money? For years, I've been buying gold and silver from Midas Resources, and you should too. Call 877-357-9938 for a free book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, or go to gold.freetalklive.com. Again, 877-357-9938, 877-357-9938.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.lrn.fm. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit the Liberty Radio Network when you shop at Amazon via shop.lrn.fm.
Free Press Publications is an independent alternative media and publishing company founded in June 2009 with the mission of ensuring a free press for the freedom movement, and is committed to spreading the message of peace, freedom, love, and liberty. FPP also gives new authors an avenue for publishing freedom-oriented material. FPP brings you daily news and commentary on the website fpp.cc, as well as weekly news in the FPP Freedom Minute at radio.fpp.cc, and the monthly newspaper FPP News at news.fpp.cc. Find FPP online at fpp.cc. That's fpp.cc, as in Creative Commons.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Okay, for more on the situation, let's now bring in outgoing Republican Representative Ron Paul. Congressman Paul, welcome back to the show. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
In the past, Congressman, you have indicated that you would be willing, and perhaps the best case scenario is for America to go over the cliff. Is it playing out exactly as you think it should?
Well, no, I don't think anybody wants anything to go over the cliff. My statement has been that I think we have passed that point of no return where we can actually get our house in order, because I believe that there's too much bipartisanship on the spending. Nobody's talking about cutting any spending. And in the midst of this crisis of a major deficit and a national debt increase coming up, nobody wants to talk about military cuts. You think they're not going to give the farmers their due, because now the milk will be doubled in price if they do that, so the farm bill will get passed. The safety net is always available to rich and poor. Republicans and Democrats all support this. Now there's been a recent hurricane. There will be no hesitation whatsoever to spend that money without offsetting it. So the Republicans and Democrats, they pretend they're fighting up there, but they really aren't. They're arguing over power and spin and who looks good and who looks bad, but they're all trying to preserve this system where they can spend what they want, take care of their friends, and let the Fed print the money when they need it. But the markets are saying, and it'll get a lot worse, I think they're saying, there's a limit to this, and we're reaching it, and there is not going to be a political solution here in the next 20 days or 30 days or even 6 months. Whatever they do here between now and the beginning of the year will just be fluff, and it will not solve our problems.
Ron, thank you for joining us. It's Amelia Bordeaux. I have a quick question for you. If no deal is reached by year end, and we do go off that fiscal cliff, what is the point for Democrats and Republicans, meaning who has more leverage now that we've gone over the fiscal cliff in their bargaining power? Who does it benefit? Which party does that benefit the most?
Well, it's the people who have control of the spin, and that's the Democrats. They, you know, the Republicans, even with all their shortcomings, have actually passed bills that would have solved this problem. But the spin that is accomplished by the Senate and by the President and by the media, it makes it look like Republicans don't care or didn't do anything. So I think the whole country is who's will lose. The country loses, but I don't think anybody has any benefit. But I think they'll come up with something. It's sort of like, how many times have they had a solution for the Greece crisis? You know, about 10 or 15 times, and then the market responds favorably, and then they find out, well, they really didn't solve it. There's no admission that they have a crisis. They have no admission that the country's bankrupt. There's no admission that our government is spending way too much, and it's way beyond our means, and there's not a single bit of effort to cut anything. Even when they talk about slashing the budget and these cuts, they're only talking about tinkering on the edges of proposed automatic increases. So they're so far removed from admitting the seriousness of this crisis, and if they don't admit it, they can't solve the problem.
Right.
They're like a bunch of drug addicts that just want another fix, and that's what they're looking for.
Congressman, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Congressman Ron Paul of Texas.
Congressman Ron Paul of Texas. Okay. Did you have any doubt that they were going to pass something today? I mean, if we go over this financial fiscal cliff, I'm at cutting kind of and taxing whatever. You know, I'm like, cool. You know, whatever. It's already baked in cake anyway. I mean, this is infinitesimal, whatever they could do here that's going to have any kind of impact on them ever able to pay off anything. I whatever, you know, we'll see. So, they'll pass, don't pass, and whatever they call it, it's going to be the opposite, whatever, anyway. You know, one thing I wanted, you know, Donna's going to put this up. I wanted to mention this. I read that Tesla once demonstrated a small remote control boat in New York at the turn of the century. This is true, and how did he make a remote control boat work prior to the invention of radio? The first demonstration of our apparatus for radio transmission and reception was conducted by Tesla in 1893. Okay, and see, what did he call it? He called it teleautomaton. You know, that's what he called this teleport, whatever the heck, radio remote control. And he demonstrated to the public in 1898 in New York's old Madison Square Garden. A patent with the long title Method of an Apparatus for Controlling Mechanisms of Moving Vessels or Vehicles was granted to Tesla in the same year, 1898. So 93, what does that make it? That makes it 120-year-old technology. That is unfathomable to a lot of people. We haven't really invented anything new since Tesla. It's just been optimization. Faster, smaller, better, quicker, last longer, you know, kind of. I mean, where has been the real invention, the real innovation, where there's nothing left to invent? You know, there's, you know, where to get energy, how to get. He did. He was tapping it from the static of the air. Heck, Ayn Rand talks about it. You know, it's just, I'm going, this is, we are not, we got to bypass the grid in our minds, quit waiting on them. That's why we're doing the, you know, the lab stuff. You know, I keep dinking around in there and everything. I got to, God, when should I, you know, I keep promising to do the video. And it's just, I got another new thing I got to do. You know, like I have a 2-inch and a 1-inch quartz tubes that I do the experiments in. And my 2-inch this weekend finally cracked and broke. So I got to put the one in. I order in today the new 2-inch because I want to get a 2-inch. But I want to do the 1-inch because it's a smaller diameter with an atmosphere of what it, but I needed the 2-inch because that's the only way I could get the samples in there. But with the new silicon wafers, I can get them smaller and break them down to use the 1-inch. That would be better to get the atmosphere of the argon that's down toward the bottom where the helium goes to the top. I mean, you know, I'm playing with this and I want to make good first presentation video and have a success. So we've already made the first battery. We got a baseline for that. We're doing, you know, I keep playing, but I want to have a very good, clear, clean experiment from the beginning to the end, the production of the batch, so I can do one video, and then we just optimize and keep doing that. Well, I'll get to it. It's just, you know, it's holidays, man. I'm busy. I got grandkids. I was building Sandbox. So this is, we keep making progress. But I'm telling you, these guys would work for years. I saw a thing on Mankind, the History of Us. The guy that, his name was Goodyear, and he was doing vulcanized rubber. You know, you can make rubber tires, rubber this, rubber that, rubber. I mean, you know, without rubber, there's all kinds, you know, O-rings and seals and all kinds of different things. And he went for years before he finally figured out how to get the product that he wanted. Okay. Yeah, I'll keep playing. You know, I keep, you know, a lot of times I don't talk about it because, you know, there's discussions going on with other people. You know, people, they go, ooh, we want to try and do and try this and do that and get, you know, and when I am working on it, I'm busy instead of me going out there with a video camera. So we'll get to it because I keep promising I'm going to do that. So I will. But and it'll be cool and we'll be pushing it. There's so many things going on, though, for me to push that. Once I launch that out, you know, it's going to be, it's good forever. Will it dominate my time? I guarantee it. Because once I do that, you know, how long are you going to want to go before you want to see another experiment and the advancement in the battery and the production of nanotubes? How long you want to go? A week, a month? I better be ready to start doing me some videos, you know? But we just got a lot of stuff to do here. I mean, we just got a lot of stuff to do. Hey, somebody wants to come intern? You know? Yeah, I got plenty for you to do. Yeah, we can go do that intern thing. Okay. Now let's go ahead and go back to the stories. Let's see. If you missed, oh, Obama's on Meet the Press interview. I watched, I think I watched like 2/3. I get it. You know? Guns are bad. We're going to go fiscal term, fiscal cliff, this and that and everything. Oh, yeah, and guns are bad. You know, I'll bet you that I can remember right about where the gun thing was. It was right about here, and let them do their little commercial thing, then we'll put it up. Because the whole point is that Obama is like, we got to have, you know, and reasonable, and I bet you the NRA even thinks that you shouldn't have AK-47s and infants' cribs and given as baby showers to whatever and so on, and therefore we need to take away guns because reasonable. And I'm going, wow, is that their criteria? Is that what they're looking for? Is that how they see it? We're just looking for an excuse to just take them. Well, that's the impression that I got. When we come back, we'll go ahead and do the get out of Obama's mouth of what he has planned for your guns. Get ready. And what are you going to do? I don't know. I have a couple ideas.
Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com from Big Head Press.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Do you have the stomach for the political fight for new gun control laws?
You know, David, I think anybody who was up in Newtown, who talked to the parents, who talked to the families, understands that you know, something fundamental in America has to change. And all of us have to do some soul searching, including me as president, that we allow a situation in which 20 precious small children are getting gunned down in a classroom. And you know, I've been very clear that you know, an assault rifle ban, you know, banning these high-capacity clips, background checks, that they're a set of issues that I have historically supported and will continue to support.
But can you get it done? I mean, the politics
and,
is the question.
And so the question is, are we going to be able to have a national conversation and move something through Congress? I'd like to get it done in the first year. I will put forward a very specific proposal based on the recommendations that Joe Biden's task force is putting together as we speak. And so this is not something that I will be putting off. But
the NRA says it's just not going to work. It didn't work before. It's not going to work now.
You know, my response is something has to work. And, you know, it is not enough for us to say this is too hard, so we're not going to try. So what I intend to do is I will call all the stakeholders together. I will meet with Republicans. I will meet with Democrats.
And the NRA will come in and say, we want to be at the table. Can we please have us some gun control so we can be again it and raise some money and whatever and bend over, here she comes. I've been through this before. What, you think Clinton, Reno didn't have their thing going on? Militia kind of, false flag and stuff, Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City, 9/11, on and on and on. I am of the opinion that, you know, you want to have game on, let's do game on. They're going to try and just run through whatever they want anyway. And when they start screaming United Nations, well, the United Nations said, ooh, man, is that a psyop? You know, that's where, I'll tell you this quick story before we do some of the other news. That's where Harry Everingham started the Breakfast Club, overlapped with Robert LaFave. In the 50s, they were big on the Girl Scout manual, had way too much United Nations pledging, because they would have like a state flag, they would have the United States flag and the UN flag, and they're in there doing their, you know, three-finger salute and Sieg Heil and whatever. And it was, UNICEF, you know, funding stuff. It was a big Boy Scout thing. They going around, collect money, whatever. And, I remember as a kid in the 60s being in the Cub Scouts that, you know, I remember all this UN stuff that was in there and the Boy Scouts manuals. So I'm going, you know, this is Weeblos and all that stuff. And I'm going, wow, this is real indoctrination. Well, they were big on getting it removed from the Girl Scout thing. I don't know what happened after that, but that's how I, you know, found the overlap between Harry Everingham of We the People and LaFave's group. And that's how Harry knew the libertarians. He's going, them libertarians. Because he actually knew the original ones. And the reason he was angry with them is they did their Freedom College thing up in Colorado Springs in Colorado. And they had all these people that were good conservative activists going to go whip ass, go there and realize that both sides were the problem. They go, you go there and you mess up our best activists into thinking that all government's bad. Well, they were right. Well, so, all right. So that's where Butler Schaefer came from. I used to teach there and stuff, too. All right. Fixing the economy, New York Times style. Raise taxes even more. So it's all about raising taxes. According to the editors of the New York Times, the way to fix our economy is for the state to take even more of our earnings. Of course, they refer to shoving higher taxes at us as reform, a watchword for all progressives who believe that reform comes only via expansion of the police powers of the state. Well, here we go. More taxes. Obama did sign a law against Iran in Latin America. The Countering Iran in the Western Hemisphere Act, passed by lawmakers earlier this year, calls for the State Department to develop a strategy within 180 days to address Iran's growing hostile presence and activity in the region. Like what? Selling oil? Although the strategy is confidential and only accessible to lawmakers, it must contain a public summary. So you go and you find it and you go and whatever. They go, we're going after Iran selling oil here. What they got? They got a law. Okay. Former New York Times editor makes a liberal case for the Second Amendment. Now, this was this gentleman comes out. He writes a book. His name's Craig Whitney. He was a New York Times editor, and he Living with Guns, a Liberal's Case for the Second Amendment. And you see in the C-SPAN interview, I watched about half of it. I still got it on the other computer. I didn't finish it. And it was, he's like, hey, man, you know, this is why they did it, and this is what it was supposed to be, and this is why, and, you know, get over it. Okay. So the liberal case. Then all of a sudden, I see on Freedom's Phoenix, this was written in January of 09. So what is that? Be 13. So that's, you know, 4 years ago. Yeah, it's 4 years ago. After the 2008 election, when all of the gun parts and ammunition went away then, too, one of our writers, Chip Saunders, wrote a three-part series, A Beginner's Guide to the Gun Panic of 08-09. Part one, it goes on, okay, what kind of guns are available? What do they do? What are they used for? How are they purchased? What, you know, kind of situation do you have and you think you would need? And what are the laws? And yada, yada, yada. Okay, then you go to part two. Part two is assessing your need, risk, threats, and know what to buy and know why to buy and how to buy. And what. So he goes over different kinds of shell casings and how they work and what they're for and lessons learned and where you can carry and why and laws and stuff. So he writes it. Then part three, a brief summation of a large subject, assault rifles and battle rifles, the endangered species. And then he goes on about, you know, what they were for and why and a bunch of pictures and everything. This was 4 years ago, and all of a sudden, it's one of the most popular downloaded series on Freedom's Phoenix. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this. You know, now, the picture I'm showing now is what's called a strip lower receiver. It's where the trigger group goes in. For whatever reason, the BATF has said this is the gun. I would think that the barrel would be the most difficult thing, you know, but whatever. So they mill out this. You buy these. This is the gun. When you go to a gun show and whatever, seven-year-olds can order gun barrels and, you know, whatever off the internet. I mean, that's, you know, here, click, boom, give me all, except for the lower. This is considered the gun. If you want to know what the gun is, it is the serial number of the lower where the trigger group goes in. Because I don't know why it's because. So what happens is if I made this just a block of metal or you had to finish this in some way, I could sell you the entire gun with all the parts. In fact, that's what a guy named Bob Stewart did. It was called, it was a 50 caliber single shot sniper rifle. And the bad guys, they didn't like that none too much because there was no transfer papers. Nobody knew who they were. And they wanted his database in the worst way. Who has all these 50 calibers that nobody knows about? Well, the reason was is because they were almost finished. You run the receiver through a couple of passes of a mill with a whatever, and boom, you're done. Okay? Think they're not going to be doing the same kind of stuff? You know, this stuff comes up. Yep. Now, this is a Ruger Mini 14. This shoots the same round as an AR or M16, a 223 round. It just doesn't have a pistol grip. It doesn't have this detachable magazine-looking thing. It's not black. It doesn't have a bipod. It doesn't have a bayonet. It's the same freaking gun. It just looks different. Now, of course, Ruger was all about this. Oh, yeah. The Mini 14, yeah, we, you know, we got to make sure that's not in the assault weapon ban. So there's going to be all kinds of manufacturer negotiation paying off something. Whatever comes out of this gun control thing, I guarantee there's going to be some classification if somebody gets something. Oh, and I tell you how it goes. It goes, all right. Well, each one of the gun manufacturers, the government will buy a gazillion of whatever, and there you stay in business, and it's all good, and don't worry about it, and screw the people. Yes, boss, we be good manufacturers, okay? This is what's happening. I can feel it coming. It's going to have to come from the people. Now, these are fouls, probably. Look at, you know, I'm showing you here these 308 long battle rifles. You know, these are nice. These are like 1,000-yard out semi-automatic nunshell pass guns. You know, I've seen people just walking around with their families at gun shows that have amazing equipment. I'm like, wow. You know, this is, and you know, with a dowel rod and a little sign sticking out of the barrel saying, you know, $500, buy this, whatever, and, you know, nobody needs to even know nothing about nothing. Here we go. And you got concealable machine guns, you got, you know, a briefcase, you got, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. You go on Freedom's Phoenix today. Chip Saunders, made it easy for you. You know, learn everything you ever needed to know. Even the gun grabbers should at least get the terminology right. Yep, a lot of stuff's coming. Should we go down to the Bill of Rights Monument, kind of stake it out and do a live show that day, an opening session of, maybe some interview and go down and just be somebody? We can. We can go do that. We can get the Comrex down there. We can just do live show from the Capitol just because. Yeah, maybe.